This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Oh, by the way, as our listeners know, we have a special feature here that we offer, a premium service called Paracast Plus. And what we offer there is a version of the show free of the network ads with enhanced audio and also the After the Paracast podcast. We never know what's going to happen next. It could be just, you know, kind of a Monday morning quarterback thing, or we continue the interview that began on the regular episode of the Paracast with more things to talk about. And Brooks Agnew has consented, despite everything and despite every reason not to, to join us on After the Paracast this week. Mark, let's continue with some of the questioning here because we're trying to put in practical sense here.
Let's dig into the forum question bank, Brooks. So on our forum, of course, that's where we interact with our audience, and they usually come up with some great questions. And I encourage you to check out the forum if you'd like to start a dust-up or enlighten us anytime. But more specifically here from Randall at USI Calgary, Randall's asking very specifically, he's very scientific-minded, but in a geological cross-section of Earth, what layer would the hollow Earth interior replace or lie between? And the follow-up to that is exactly, he says, are you just talking about big caves or bases in the upper crust, et cetera?
These would not be big caves, although big caves probably do exist. I've been to Carlsbad, and I've been to Tibet, and I've been all over Mammoth Cave. But these are way, way, way up near the surface. The deepest caves that we know of, even the deepest mines that we know of, are only about a mile and a half down in the ground. So we're talking a solid crust, somewhat solid, of 900 to 1,000 miles thick. And this is where all of the magma exists. Everything that feeds the volcanoes that we see. This is a center of gravity body by itself. It has a tremendous amount of mass, and it revolves around the same axis that the core does, but at a different speed. It's mostly made of iron and silica, and the core is made of just iron and xenon. So once you get to about 900 to 1,000 miles in, depending on whether you're on a mountain range or in a valley on the inside of the planet, then it's going to be open air. And I don't mean vacuum. I mean like atmosphere.
Brooks, how is that possible, though? Because, you know, the pressures at the Earth, we would need a very porous system to have one bar of pressure at such a depth. So could you explain that?
Yeah. If you look at Newton's laws, for instance, he states the physics two ways. One, he calls it thin shell physics, which is just like a sphere that's very thin glass, let's say. When you get on the inside, the gravity all cancels itself out. So everything on the inside of the sphere is weightless. His thick shell physics, which would be more like what a planet would look like, is just an extrapolation of thin shell physics. He didn't have any way of gathering any data either, but he extrapolated that. So what we do in physics when we can't actually go somewhere and do something, like, for instance, we can't travel at the speed of light, we create thought experiments. So if I were to put the two of you, wherever you are, in an elevator, and I sat you in a chair in the elevator, and that chair sat on a scale, I would know exactly how much you weighed in that elevator. Now, if that elevator shaft went all the way to the center of the Earth, and I started that elevator going down into the center of the Earth, as you approached the center of the Earth, what would you imagine your weight would do on the scale?
Well, you're closer to a more massive body, so you would think that the gravitation, if you believe in the gravitational theory versus electromagnetics, right, that this would be a crushing pressure to you just simply due to proximity to such a massive object.
Well, that's a good assumption. But if once you're in the center, all the mass of the Earth is above you. You're no longer accelerating.
Touché, Brooks. That's right. Yep.
You would actually, once you reach the center, you would be at zero. Whereas you would no longer be accelerating toward the center of the Earth, which we are right now. We just fortunately are sitting on a floor, so we're not falling. But theoretically, we are falling at 32 feet per second. So we did the calculations of what the mass of the crust would have to be. And based on those gravitational acceleration formulas, we calculated that if you were standing on the inside of the crust, say 1,000 miles below where I'm sitting on the outside of the Earth now, instead of accelerating toward the center of the Earth, I would be accelerating toward the center of the crust or up at the rate of about 21 feet per second. So I'd weigh about a third less than I weigh right now. And that's exactly the kind of gravitational environment that we would expect giantism to occur, because you'd have a whole lot less stress on any kind of structure, whether it's calcium for bones or whether it's cellulose for plants. You'd have a lot less stress. Things would grow much bigger because they would not have the gravity to pull them back down to the Earth. A couple other things would be missing. Weather would be missing. Seasons would be missing. Ultraviolet radiation would be missing. All the things that make the surface a hazardous place to live. Humans only spend about 15% of their time outside. The rest of the time, we're sheltered. We have to be. We can't stay outside. We won't live beyond the age of about 30 or 35. Animals, on the other hand, are built for it. Then they don't live much beyond 30 or 35 unless you're an elephant or a whale.
So Brooks, if you were to speculate on a civilization, let's go way out on the speculation branch here for a minute. So many people believe that there's a variety of different species. You know, you can think of your reptilians. You've mentioned the crafts have to go somewhere to land, etc. Okay. Can you describe a little bit for us what you think is really going on with these subterranean species, if in fact that's a reality?
Well, you use a word that I don't use very often, and that is believe. I mean, I have faith in certain things, but
speculate.
When it comes to science, I don't believe in chemistry. I know it, but I don't believe in it. I need proof. I need data. I need a bone. I need a chip. I need some kind of sample, and it has to be repeatable, and it has to be validated by others so that I'm not sitting here making it up like a lot of channelers do. But you kind of, hit on the little boy inside me that, the old Flash Gordon imagination. I will say that if there is space there that isn't completely inhospitable, there will be life there. And it could be, as you said, mankind has had several zeniths on this planet. We don't have to go very far in history, and we don't have really access to a whole lot of history, maybe going back 10 or 15,000 years. That's about it. Yeah. But we know mankind, or at least some version of a humanoid being, could have existed on this planet for 500,000 years, maybe 5 million years. That's a lot longer than what we've experienced, and we just don't have any record of it. We know of the Vimana. And we know of the Vedas because we have all the records, but for all those records and all the exploration, all the poking around in various tombs for various treasures, we haven't found one single ship parked in a garage or crashed in the jungle anywhere. Somewhere out there, this stuff has to exist. And that's another reason why we wanted to do the expedition to the Arctic, because we figured if we could get the right scientists in the right frame of mind on that icebreaker 500 miles from the next cell phone, we would be the only consciousness signal on the sea.
Hey, we got a break here, and we're going to find out more about that before I become unconscious.
That's a very, very bad joke. Brooks, Gene, and Mark, you're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Timeshares, what do you think of when you hear that? For many people, all they hear is the constant reminder of how they were misled, lied to, and pressured into buying one of these financial nightmares. This is Steve Sanchez, and if you have a timeshare that you want out of, Wesley Financial Group, the leading timeshare cancellations company, can help you do just that, guaranteed. Founded by Chuck Medell, a pioneer in this industry who successfully went to federal court against the timeshare giant to help you get out of the prison sentence you're serving from the endless lifelong maintenance fees, Wesley Financial Group wants you to know that you're not alone in your battle, and their high ratings with the Better Business Bureau and endless testimonials from millions of dollars they have successfully eliminated from timeshare debt from people just like you makes them the obvious choice to cancel your timeshare. Did I mention their guarantee? Well, it's in writing, and they get the job done on time or you get 100% of your money back. Call now for their free information kit at 1-800-501-6100, 1-800-501-6100, or visit them at timesharecancellations.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
You know, I was thinking here to kind of get back to all this and the Hollow Earth lore before we get to the science again. The alleged voyage or voyages of Admiral Byrd beyond the poles or whatever. Did that really happen? It's been disputed.
It has been disputed, and I have actually looked at the philology of the reported diaries, and I have found that the philology is the study of language structure, how a person speaks, how they put words together, how they express themselves. And I have found from my studies that Admiral Byrd's films, where I can see him talking and the way he puts words together, the way he expresses himself, is quite a bit different than what was written in the diaries. So I have associates, not the least of which is Al Bielek and others, who swear that those diaries are genuine, but I cannot validate it, and I just can't sign off on it. That's why we need to have our own evidence, independent, with real scientists, with real instruments. Let's just go and see. We should not be afraid to go see anything on our planet.
Let me ask you a question here, though. Do you think if you try to do such a trip, the powers that be might stop you, or what?
Well, I don't know who the powers that be are, but it's Russian territory. It's a Russian shipping company, and all my meetings with them, they are overjoyed to do this expedition. All we need is the money to pull it off. It's about $3 million expedition, and the way we want to do it, we will be filming live from the deck of the ship with four cameras at all times. There'll be other cameras doing recordings, but we'll be broadcasting live with four cameras. So it'll be four-channel reality program for 15 days. I think we can get enough people watching for $5 or $6, the pay-per-view, that we could pay for that expedition. But first of all, we got to find the benefactor. I just think this is the way to do it.
Brooks, if you were to embark, give us a short list. This doesn't need to be the secret college of scientists that, you know, would not like to be named. But if you had your top five folks that you would have on that ship with you, who would it be?
Well, that's a really good question. We actually had about 2,000 applicants for 125 seats. And we just cut it off because it was just too many people. But we would probably bring Elizabeth Williams with Stanford University, whose PhD is in plate tectonics. We would probably bring a team from Carnegie Science, from Cambridge, from Washington University. These would be small teams, usually a associate professor and a couple grad students, because if the grad students die, nobody cares. No, I'm just kidding. That's not true. But, you know, 125 seats, and then we got to have room for the people that do the film, the people that catalog all the evidence. We say that's about 30 people. So we're talking about, you know, 95 people out of the 2,000 applicants that we had. And we have, we want to bring enough variety so we can check the crystallinity of the seawater. We have designed what we call a sea dart because the sea is 4,400 meters deep. We can't bring a cable 12,000 feet long to send a little sub down on the bottom to get samples. That's just not possible. So we designed a sea dart. The sea dart, we launch it, and it basically falls to the bottom of the sea. It sticks itself in the bottom, takes a sample, and then inflates an airbag and floats back to the surface. It takes about 4 or 4.5 hours for this thing to make a round trip. When it comes to the surface, we can grab it, we can bring it to the boat, and we can get all the information that it's collected. And the only way that you can get real-time data is to actually run a cable all the way down there, and that's just not possible in that kind of sea. We're talking the roughest oceans on Earth, 10-story seas. This is not an easy thing to do. You need a big ship, and you need people that don't get seasick very well or very often. It's going to be tough. We're going to do 10 to 12, maybe 15,000 square miles in 15 days. There's a helicopter on the ship so we can scout ahead, and maybe the opening comes all the way to the surface. We don't know. We just don't know. Mm-hmm. We think that we're probably looking at a pretty good size sea vent, maybe 500 or 1,000 feet across, or maybe bigger. It could be 2,000 feet across. We don't know. We can't see it from space, because it's under the ice. We can't see it from the ocean because no one has ever sailed these waters before.
If you picture an opening at the surface of the Earth that actually goes into the upper mantle, we're talking about an extreme pressure and temperature gradient. That gradient is going to cause a flow of water. You know, we're going to get an actual flow across this gradient. Is there any data that supports this notion of an upwelling, or for that matter, a downwelling into this opening?
You know, that's a good question. We interviewed a rear admiral, and we also interviewed a corpsman from a submarine that had done several polar ice trips under the ice. And we asked them about, you know, what they could tell us. And I told them I have maritime records going back to the 16 and 1700s, because in those days, ships used to leave the old world. They'd sail to the new world, but they didn't sail by themselves. They sailed in groups of two or three, and they didn't sail right next to each other. They sailed about 6 to 7 miles apart, so they could see each other, but they didn't worry about running into each other at night or in the fog. What the maritime record records is that from time to time, one of these ships would disappear. And they would disappear for like 2 days. And then they would show back up again, right where they're supposed to be. What we suppose from the record is a phenomenon we call the oceanic depression. This is an area where sea level is not quite sea level. It's like a bowl.
Mm.
And so I asked the corpsman and I asked the rear admiral what they thought this anomaly was caused by. And they said, yeah, they're familiar with it. The rear admiral said, well, we think that these are areas of the planet where gravity is more intense. So it's pulling the ocean down maybe 20 or 30 feet, which is not much, but and you can't see it unless you're sailing side by side. Then you can see a ship disappear and come back up.
It's an artificial horizon, right? It creates an artificial horizon.
That's correct. That's exactly right. And I said, well, would you entertain another idea that these are areas of the planet where the gravitational pull is actually less, not more, and the surrounding gravity is pulling the water away from that opening? He said, you know, we never thought about it that way, but...
Brooks, you would have a lack of mass in the middle, therefore you would have gravity pulling towards the mass that exists at the rim.
That's the way we understand acceleration formula.
I want to cover a few things here when we get to our next segment. Brooks Agnew, Gene Steinberg, Mark Jackson, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, May 31st to June 3rd for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, an epic weekend of exploration into ancient aliens, human origins, crop circles, and UFO sightings. More than 100 lectures, panels, workshops, and events with leading experts like Giorgio Tsoukalos, David Wilcock, Linda Moulton Howe, Eric Von Doniken, Doc Wallach, and so many more. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
A charter flight from Cuba veered off a runway at Naval Air Station Jacksonville in Florida. It came to rest in the St. John's River. 143 people were aboard. 21 people were treated for injuries. WJAX TV reporter.
Crews are trying to prevent fuel from the plane leaking into the St. John's River. That's a big concern right now. Crews have been out here for hours. We expect this to continue well into the morning. Once they get this situation under control, then the process moves towards removing the plane from the St. John's River.
The plane was carrying military personnel and civilians from Guantanamo Bay in Cuba. A huge explosion and fire has happened at a silicone plant in Waukegan, Illinois. At least 4 people were hospitalized, and 1 person is confirmed dead. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Excellent. Here we go with Brooks Agnew, Gene, and Mark. You know, Brooks, I'm just wondering here, we're talking about a not very expensive expedition, at least as far as government money is concerned, if they were willing to put something into it. Don't you think this might have been done already?
Well, if they have, they haven't published a word about it. I'm not trying to make myself any more important than I probably am, but I probably have the largest collection of Hollow Earth data of any person ever in the history of the world. Because of the internet and because of the 10 years that I've worked on this and the fact that I'm the, you know, leader of the North Pole Inner Earth Expedition. And I have not seen where someone else has sailed these waters, unless you want to count books like The Smoky God or something like that. But they're interesting stories. They may actually turn out to be true, but, you know, they didn't have cameras in those days, and he didn't bring back a sample of anything with him.
Well, on the other hand, if the government even discovered this, any government, we would think they might keep it a secret?
Oh, surely not. If the government did it, they would tell us everything about it, wouldn't they? I mean, that's the whole disclosure.
Brooks, wait, this is a great segment and segue into another topic that you speak a lot about. So let's stay on this government topic for a moment, but let's tilt the axis of the earth. Let's go down to Antarctica. There is a lot of political activity, heads of state, et cetera, that are visiting Antarctica for what I can only assume are obviously secret reasons, you know, based on the hierarchy of people that have visited that. So we're talking about breakaway civilizations, potentially UFO bases, X, Y, and Z, Hollow Earth. But let's get down to Antarctica, because the last few years, I got to tell you, Antarctica has been such a dust up with misinformation and stories all the way from Armstrong to John Kerry, et cetera. But what the heck is going on in Antarctica, Brooks?
Well, that is a that's a really good question. I have a friend who we speak on the same tour a lot, and he just got back from a trip down there. I don't know if you know who. I think his name is Brad Owen. I want to get his name right. I've been working already for 12 hours today, so his name escapes me. But he just got back from Antarctica. He spent 14 days, and he asked. Of course, he was down there at the end of the season. People were packing up, getting ready to leave out of there. And he asked everybody about, you know, ships, about, you know, underground complexes. And nobody had any information on that. They'd all heard the stories, but nobody had any information about that. So I don't know. But it is very strange to see that, you know, the Secretary of State, the science, head of science for the Vatican, you know, different people, world leaders around the world, all went down to Antarctica during a short period of time. And I don't think, nobody thinks they went down there just to see the penguins.
Right.
Something's going on.
Care to speculate?
Well, in my book series called The Birth Trilogy, we talk about an ancient intelligence that has existed on the Earth for a long, long time, maybe a couple hundred thousand years, sent here to watch over the early race of man to make sure that they didn't shoot themselves in the foot and go extinct, but ended up having sexual relations with Earth women and birthing a race of giants and various hybrids for which the Earth had to go through a cataclysmic cleansing, so to speak, in order to set things right again. And we believe that that intelligence is still on the Earth and that it still has the same goal that it originally had, which is to capture all the souls of every living being on this planet. Unfortunately, I guess there are rules. They can't just do it. I mean, yes, they're immensely intelligent and very powerful and may actually even be immortal, but they can't just capture us. Because we die and then we come back, but we progress anyway. We kind of spiritually slip through their fingers. Unless we choose of our own free will and choice to join their ranks. If we choose to become dark, if we choose to become evil, then they have us. So if you look at the way the Earth has been treated, the things that it has gone through in the last couple hundred years, you will see this very straight line, long game thinking pattern that seems to support the idea that these ancient intelligences have been here all along and they haven't changed the game at all. The players have changed, but the game is exactly the same. The plan is exactly the same. And the theory is, the thought, the popular thought is that these world leaders went down there to see that intelligence directly.
Well, other researchers support this, Nick Redfern and others talk about this ancient, you know, entity. But this isn't your speculation. I understand that you had compiled a research team that delved very deeply into the Olmec, Tolmec lore, and there's a lot of continuity between that very notion and some of the very origin stories on the planet, is there not?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And if we go back to just go to Genesis. Most people are familiar with that. You can see in very short order, mankind gets itself crossways with these watchers or fallen angels or these immortals. And early man has to go to war with these beings and their followers several times throughout history. And, I mean, you know, Brad Olson does a fantastic job not only knowing about that and exploring and writing about all these ancient things as well, he actually, you know, braved it and went to Antarctica himself to try to find the evidence. And all he found were more questions.
Hmm. let's go back to, and I think that we're in a good space where I'd like to return to kind of where we started here. Now that we're talking about some of the more ethereal speculations and more of the spiritual aspects of our existence and reality, but you mentioned at the beginning of the show something about two Earths and about the Earth separating at some point. Can you, and I've heard you in previous interviews, can you please give us the analogy of the bucket full of marbles and explain to the audience this theory of two Earths, please?
Yeah, sure. People, you know, when I say that we have two Earths occupying the same space at the same time, they ask the question, you know, how can that be? And what we're talking about is two different energy levels of matter, a higher vibrational matter and a lower vibrational matter. And I likened it to having a 5-gallon bucket. You fill the 5-gallon bucket with glass marbles. Obviously, these are low energy matter. They don't, I mean, there's a lot of space between the marbles. You could fill the bucket, but if, sooner or later, you're going to get right to the brim and you can't fit another marble in it. But you can take another bucket of water and you can pour it into the same bucket, and it will fill in all the spaces between the glass marbles. So you have two phases of matter occupying the same bucket at the same time. I can tell you right now that Earth, as dense as it is, we speculate it is somewhere around 1 to 2 grams per cubic centimeter, except for the core itself. A neutrino can travel through a light year of solid Earth and not hit anything. That's how much space there is in the matter that makes up Earth.
Now, space is not the final frontier, or is it? Bad joke. We're going to do our break now. Brooks Agnew, fascinating tale, a fascinating journey into the other Earth with Mark Jean. And Brooks, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor. And the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
You know, Brooke, if you continue that, you might actually find a full-time job saying that. I'm kidding. You know, we're exploring here the possibilities of a hollow earth. Not from a fanciful viewpoint, but as to whether it's a real possibility. Now, we're seeing here the scientific possibilities. All these people who are writing about this, Walter Siegmeister, known as Dr. Raymond Bernard, all these people, did they just latch on to the same thing or just look at the various legends and make a good guess?
Yeah, they start with the various legends. It is very difficult to go to all the ancient civilizations and gather all this data. That's why we wrote the Ark of Millions of Years. It was a great place for us to start, too. But we started in 2001, and we didn't finish until 2013. So it was, you know, a long time writing those books. And, you know, many universities use these books as textbooks because there are a lot of pictures. There are a lot of diagrams. There's a lot of lineage tracing and genealogy to pull all these things together and make a coherent study out of it. And the things that I have read, others have written about the Hollow Earth, mostly stem off of dreams or channeling or stories that other people have written, and then they extrapolate from there. I have tried to stay purely on the science side, and I've been criticized for that because, you know, I'm not a convert, but I think it's really the right way to go, because I think that once we show on camera to the world live something that they have never seen before, it's going to be a community experience that has the power to change our relationship with planet Earth. It has the ability to change the average reality.
I wanted to ask you something here, Brooks, about channelers, about alleged contactees, whatever. They claim to be talking with beings, higher beings, who allegedly come from other planets. If any of this is genuine, is it that they're being told something that really isn't true to point away from the true origin?
Well, all you really have to do is sit with me on any UFO panel, and you will find that's exactly right. If there are nine people on that panel, you have nine different sworn testimonies of the way that our relationship exists with off-worlders or people from other planets or various race types like insectoids or reptilians or, you know, Syrians or Arcturians. And I just try to keep myself separated from that. I say, if you really want to impress me, bring one of them to the next conference and let them come out to the microphone and say, hello, and everything will change from there.
So, Brooks, I take it you have no sightings or contactee experience for yourself.
Well, you would take wrong, because I have seen plenty of UFOs, and when I was up at James Gilliland's place at Trout Lake, Washington, I, of course, couldn't help myself but run an experiment during the day, because we'd seen plenty at night, but there's just impossible to photograph at night, although I did put night vision goggles in front of my video camera, and I videotaped the Russian supply ship following the International Space Station going overhead, which was really, really fantastic footage. But UFOs are hard to shoot at night because cameras, especially the new digital cameras, they won't focus in on something, you know, 50 miles above you. It's just not going to happen. So what we did is we took daytime shots, and we realized very shortly that digital cameras, the chips inside the digital cameras, take pictures differently than our eyes see. You look up at the mountain and, you know, the bright blue sunshine day, and you don't see anything but the mountain and blue sky. But you raise your digital camera and you snap a picture, and right there in plain sight on the viewfinder is a ship. Now, it's not a crystal clear ship. The edges around it are kind of fuzzy, but it's definitely a corporal ship, usually in the shape of a cigar or some kind of pyramid or an arrow, something like that. And I tried to explain that one time to somebody. Here's why that happens, because when you take a digital shot with a camera or with a film camera, what you're doing is taking a cumulative image. So the light that's reflecting off of that object is coming in the lens, and the digital camera is actually taking about 200 or 300 pictures and stacking them one on top of the other. And that's why you can see the ship in the viewfinder, but you can't see it with your naked eye, because the rods and cones in your eyes, they don't work that way. They can't see at that vibration, but the camera can see it. So I said, all right, let's run an experiment. I got this ship on my tripod with my camera. I want this woman over here with another brand of camera, basically the same megapixels. I think mine was 12 and hers was 14. Let's set them up and we'll take 10 photographs together aiming at the same thing. And we did. She operated her camera. I operated mine. We took 10 pictures. We downloaded it to the computer, pulled it up, and there was that ship on both cameras, the same size in the same place. Now, that was pretty good science, and we estimated that it was about 500 feet long. We could not see it with the naked eye.
Brooks, you know what my next question is, right? Can we see this photo?
Absolutely.
Where do we find this?
Oh, well, I don't publish it, but I do put my live presentations, but I'd be happy to send it to you.
Well, that would be absolutely intriguing, obviously. If you're so inclined, I think the Paracast team would appreciate that. That's great.
Okay, I'm in Skype now, so I'll try not to act distracted while I'm pulling that photograph up and sending it to you. But the point is that we have only our five senses to view this universe that we live in. Right. Now we can augment those senses with video and with electronic instruments, and it's a good thing because I like to see electronic proof of something. And I like to see it repeated and validated. That is to say, it's done with two instruments multiple times. Then it becomes very real to me.
Brooks, do you know who the SCU is, the Scientific Community for Ufology? Is that right, Gene? That's what the SCU stands for, correct?
I'm going to verify. You continue talking.
Sure. So there are groups, Brooks, of scientists such as yourself, et cetera. Have you, you know, thought about joining these organizations? Have you ever been a party to MUFON, for example? You know, at what level of participation are you offering ideas into the larger, you know, ufology sphere?
I've been invited to speak at MUFON about a dozen times in the last 10 years. I never turned down an invitation. I always go and speak. and I show my pictures and tell my story. I will be speaking at Contact in the Desert, the 30th through the 2nd, 30th of this month to the 2nd of June in Indian Wells, California. I will be showing my pictures there. I will also be showing the trailer to the birth film of the birth trilogy, which is the two Earths coming apart. We're going to make this into a film, into a TV series, and people are going to take the birth journey on screen.
Will the proceeds from this go into the advancement of more of your research, for example, the Arctic journey, etc.?
I see no reason why not. I have plenty of money, and these, I've been doing this as a hobby, as a passion for a third of my life. I want to see this expedition take place. This is the greatest expedition in the history of the world. I mean, we can't go to the moon or Mars or anything like that, but we can do this. This we can do. It's never been done. I don't know if it will ever be done again, but it will be, it will make every Everest movie you ever saw bore you to death. This will be the greatest expedition in the history of the world.
Whoa, what a claim. You know, we got just a few seconds left with this segment, and I wanted to answer the question of SCU as a scientific coalition for UAP studies.
Thank you, Gene.
Great. And, you know, I just do all that research because that's what we're here for, to figure out the answers with the help of Google. Or some one of those search engines. Yeah. By the way, we're going to have Brooks with further discussions on After the Paracast. We will also be joined by our ace ufologist, William Puckett, for his regular segment for After the Paracast, again, available exclusively to subscribers of the Paracast Plus, plus.theparacast.com. More to come with Gene, Brooks, and Mark. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.